your flesh and blood.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. It's great to have you with us, and also a returning guest to our program. This is, at least as far as I've calculated it, this is her third time on the program, and we're very grateful. Anytime one of our guests returns to share from what it is that they are all about, how they're making this a better world, Pamela Cummins is our guest, and I want to welcome you back. We're going to talk a little bit about, in general, nighttime messages, daytime wisdom, but you also have a new book. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Richard. It's really nice to be back here. Yay.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. We've always had a lot of fun on this program talking about all of the different things that that you are doing, that our guests are doing, and other guests are doing, and so forth. And I'm just excited about the prospects for what we're going to share with our listeners. And that's really important to me, because we're trying to enlighten and educate and inspire. I want to talk a little bit as we get started here, because you do, if I'm correct, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you do dream interpretation, and you actually have a book entitled Dream Interpretation for the Mystical Soul. Would you consider all of us to sort of have a mystical soul? How do you define that, I guess?
Okay, well, this is my personal opinion. I want to answer your first question. I believe we all have the ability to have a mystical soul. I don't think we're all in touch with our mystical souls, if that makes sense. The way I define a mystical soul is someone who's open-minded to any kind, like spirituality. I want to say to the other side, like there's life after death, okay? And who is also willing to expand their own spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that can be like, you know, I'm also psychic, so it can be your psychic, in, or your, if you prefer, your intuition or your gut feeling. And basically to make yourself a better person, but also to make this world a better person and grow. And you don't have to have a certain religion or a certain belief, but you have to be open to that there is something more than you, okay? Like there's something more than you. And that mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be your way. I mean, your way might be work for you, but that there can be other ways. All right. So that's just a short definition. Okay.
When it comes to dreams, my wife in particular will share with me on probably more than just on an occasion, what she just dreamed of. I, on the other hand, rarely remember them. I remember some of the more profound ones back when I was much younger. I've shared those, I think, with you and on this program. One that led to a greeting, if you will, with my passed-on grandmother. Another one where, as a child, and we're talking now maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, scared out of my wits because my mom had stuck her hand inside this jar that shattered. Those are the two that I recall right off the top of. Oh, and then there was another one, and I don't remember if this was a daydream or actually a nighttime dream, where everything was pristine. It was summertime. We were out in the front yard, nice white concrete sidewalk for the driveway. And my father, who took meticulous care of our Bermuda grass lawn, it was a beautiful, lush, dark green. And all of the sudden I started pedaling and I started rising up. I was not on any vehicle of any kind, no bicycle. I just started pedaling my feet and I started rising up. So those would be the three that I remember off the top of my head. How do we go about accessing those dreams? Because they're obviously, from your perspective, they're important, because this is the area in which you you work and share with people.
Right. And they're very important. Here, this is the the analogy that's coming to me, okay? We are given a voice, okay? And we are given a voice to use it, okay? So we're giving dreams to use it. Dreams guide us, okay? Not everyone can remember them. And not everyone's like me, who can remember. I remember dreams almost daily. Sometimes a week or two will go by and I don't really remember my dreams. And that might be because things are going on at the outs on my life is busy, but I always remember my dream. Now, my mate, my husband, because we just got married, actually yesterday, 2 months ago. So
Oh, congratulations.
thank you. Yeah. But he very rarely remembers his dreams, but when he does, they're important. Okay. So when it comes to remembering your dreams, like anything else in life, it's intention. You know, like so many people say, I want to play the guitar. I want to write a book. I want to do this. Well, you have to have the intention and then you have to take the action. So before you go, can I tell people how to remember their dreams? You know, I know I've said it before, but in case someone is new, so if you've heard me, please, just take it with a grain of salt. So it's intention, and the best thing to do it is the night before. Okay, not the morning of, the night before. I like to say it's like you get prepared for work. You know, some women will like iron their clothes the day before because in the morning you don't have enough time, or you prepare your lunch. Or you grab, you know, you prepare, like my husband, when he likes to go to the gym, so he always prepares his gym bag so he doesn't have to do it at, because he gets up super early. Well, it's the same thing with remembering your dreams. So before you go to bed, you might want to put a pad and a pen, or have some like your tablet or some kind of recording device so you can record your dreams. So this is signaling to your subconscious, unconscious mind that you're going to remember your dream. Now, there's different ways that you can signal, excuse me, yourself to remember your dreams. Like write yourself a letter. You could even put it in your phone or tablet. I will remember my dreams. You can chant it like a mantra. I will remember my dreams, or if you prefer, I will recall my dreams. Okay. Visualization is a good way to do it before you go to bed. Visualizing yourself having dreams, waking up in the mornings, reaching your journal and writing down your dream because you had a dream. Or if you have a higher source, God, goddess, whatever you call it, you can pray to remember your dreams. And I say to do this for 90 days straight. Okay. 90 days straight. And quite honestly, it usually happens before the 3 months are over. But it's like a routine, like going to the gym, like stop eating sugar, whatever. You have to continue to do it. And before you know it, you have a dream. And once you have that dream, write it down. That's important. Because when you write down your dreams, or if you type it, or you, as your wife does, might tell you, you know, to have someone else listen or to record your dreams, then you have a record of it. And that will signal your mind to continue to do that. It's like, I'm going to use working out again. It's like when you go to the gym, you know, and it's been a while, your muscles will be like, oh, I remember this. Well, you have to continue it for your mu muscles to get used to it. And your brain, think of your brain as a muscle. You have to continue for it to get used to it. Okay.
It takes, it takes some practice, just like when we talk about excuse me, when we talk about people spending some time going within, listening to that still small voice. There does come a point, if you do it regularly, where you don't even think about it anymore. You just get the impression and you follow it.
Right.
It becomes almost second nature. You don't want it to become totally an unconscious thing. You want to be consciously aware of, what you're doing. But at the same time, that's one of the things that I find so interesting is, for me, now it's like I get impressions, for example, from my late father. I don't hear his voice, but I do get impressions. And sometimes when I'm talking out loud to myself, the words that are coming out of my mouth, I where did that come from? Oh, that must have been dad. So that's kind of how I look at that, is it's my father is sort of speaking through me, if you will. And you become more aware. That's kind of what dreams are all about, isn't it? Is that they help to make you more aware of your life, your life's purpose. It's kind of what you are all about too, in terms of helping people to interpret their dreams,
Right.
to help them to find, maybe they haven't found their life's purpose yet, and their dreams are trying to tell them what it is.
Well, it's similar to what you were talking about, listening to your inner voice, your intuition, your psychic abilities, whatever you want to call it, and however it comes to you. And that's why it's a good idea when you get an impression to, when you're awake, to write it down so you can. So you can know what it feels like, how it happens, and you can also know when it's wasn't your intuition and it was your ego. Okay. And dreams are similar, except it speaks in a more, I want to say, complicated language. Okay. It's not your daytime language. It's yes, there's some symbolism. But there's also like, it's kind of like a story, like what's going on in your life, what happened in the past. It gives you directions for your life, your emotions, because your emotions, your feelings are really important in dreams. And your feelings are also important, like in the daytime too. So who was in your dream? There it's, it there's a lot to it, but the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Now, I've had other dream interpreters on the program who have shared their perspective on how they go about this process. And I would venture yours is probably similar in that the symbolism that shows up in our dreams is something that we, as the individual dreamer, we're the ones that really have to learn how to interpret that. And you facilitate the process of helping us to do that?
That's one of the, it really depends on what my clients' needs are. Some are just like, I don't want to interpret this at all. Just tell me what my dream means. Okay. They do know. And you know what? And I respect that. It's because I love the guitar. There was a time I was like, let me learn it. I was like, oh no. So I'd rather listen to guitar music. So I respect that. And I will give them, at least several interpretations, because a dream can mean two to three or even more things, okay? And then there's other people who want to know. But again, it's more than like symbolism's important, but what's the actions of the dream? What's occurring in the dream? What's the story of the dream? Okay? That's what's important. And then I like dream categories. Is this could it be a past life dream? Is it are you having a visitation dream? Are you having an issue dream? Are there things you need to work out? Are you having a dream of the future? Are you having a solution dream? Could it be a health dream? Or could it be something occurring around your house that's coming into your dream? Or the call of nature, and you have a dream about that. So th there's different, there's different categories too. So it's not just about symbols. Richard, can I share a dream that I recently had? I'd love to share this because
Please.
one of the things, quite honestly, that frustrates me is like people will ask me, are you going to write a dream dictionary? And I'm like, no, because symbols are so personal. All right. So I had this dream where I was where some young woman gave me this necklace, and it was a crystal, probably about that big. I mean, it was huge, right? And it was weighing me down. And I also had a long earring, right? So I couldn't handle the necklace. So I took the necklace off and I put it on my bookshelf and I was admiring the crystal. I'm like, this crystal is so beautiful, right? And the earring was really long. I mean, it was like down to about here, past my neck, past my shoulders, right? And I personally, I don't like long earrings. I like short earrings, right? And when I woke up, it was weird. I got the message, write a blog on crystal quotes, quotes about crystals, gems, or whatever. And I was like, that was interesting. And I was like, what does that mean? Could was it, was it about my spirituality? Am I too heavy into my spirituality? Honestly, I couldn't figure out what it was. Okay. Now, if you look into a dream dictionary, it's probably going to say spirituality, spiritual growth, purity, earrings could be prosperity, what are you hearing? Stuff like that. Well, this is where time helps, okay? And things that occur in your life. So, and I recently wrote a blog about this. So, I'll try and make it short. But one of the things was one day I was thinking I'd like to make another oracle deck because I like to create oracle decks. And I was like, I'd like to make like a short deck, like 36 cards, like I did for I think it's called Lenormand cards, right? Because sometimes I'm like, I want to do tarot, but that's 78 cards. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Okay. So I had that thought. And then Lawsley Lenormand, I subscribed to her newsletters, okay? And she wrote this really interesting blog about how, everyone has an opinion, okay? Everybody's like, my way's the best, no, man, you need to do it this way. So she was talking about how people, don't always agree with her interpretations of the cards, right? So, which I could understand. They're like, no, this card means this. And it's like, no, what do you feel it means? So I went on her blog and I saw Kipper cards, and I had seen that before, but all of a sudden it's like that intuitive hit, like it clicked. Okay. So what I did afterwards is I said, well, let me research this. All right. Well, Kipper cards is different than Lenormand, which I studied, and I studied that hard. Okay. It's totally different than that. It has 36 cards, right? And there's not a lot of information, not like tarot and dream interpretation. There's not as much information. And so one woman, it does like it the traditional way. And then there's another man. These are two people who wrote books about it. And another man does it more easygoing. All right. So as I'm looking this, all of a sudden it clicked what the dream meant. Okay. I know it sounds weird. And it had nothing to do really with crystals. All right. A little bit with my spirituality. Basically, what it was saying is I'm going to be learning a new divination tool. Okay. And I need to, if I study with this woman, okay, it's going to be too heavy for me. Her spirituality is too much. Okay. It's not for right for me. It's going to block my voice because the necklace, it's going to block my voice, how I read it. I need to look at, and because she's really good, and this is for traditional Kipper readers, she's really good at what she does, okay? And by putting it on the bookshelf, I need to see the beauty of what she has. But because it's on the bookshelf, I need to study it and find what's right for me, okay? And the earring, okay, because it was on my was on my right side, which was the left brain, if I'm getting this correct. The earring represented to listen, because I'm clear audience, so I hear a lot, to listen to my inner voice, okay, and not get bogged down to what other people say, what other people are saying. All right. Another way to look at that too is because in the dream, I was like, I don't know if I like these long earrings, I like them short, is when I do a spread, I prefer them shorter. Okay. I don't like these because you can use all 36 cards. Right. So here was a dream about crystals that was talking about Kipper cards that nobody really knows about. All right. Now, if I had, you're not going to find that in a dream dictionary. All right. And that's why you need to look at the story, what's going on in your life. Could it be the future? Who you are, somebody else's spirituality is going to be too heavy for me. I mean, I just find this fascinating, and I feel like it's a good story to tell people to stop going to your phone and saying, "What does this symbol mean?" Okay? Because what does it mean to you? How do you feel about it? How could this symbol relate to your life? Could it be, a fairy tale? Okay? I mean, there's so much things to think about. So I'm sorry, that was kind of a long story, but I hope it got the point across.
No. And that's just fine. We're talking with Pamela Cummings and talking about dreams and how she helps you, facilitates you in understanding the meaning of your dreams. Is there something that, in my case, I am missing that, and quite honestly, it doesn't really trouble me, but is there something I'm missing, or is it that if I am dreaming, and I've been told that we all dream, whether we remember them or not, that's the other portion of it,
Right.
that apparently I was not meant to process that information, that my subconscious had it, all of that kind of thing. I'm going, it's for me, it's kind of like having deja vu experiences, which I have not had in a long time. I was seven and I had a day every time I turned around. It's like, I've been here before. I've been here before. And, I thought I was going to go crazy. And I finally interpreted deja vu as the universe telling me, you're going in the right direction. Just keep moving forward. Just keep one step in front of the other. So is it possible that the reason I'm not remembering my dreams is that I don't really need to, because and it doesn't elevate me above anybody else, but it's just for me, I'm good. Or do I need to look into trying to remember them?
You know what? I'm gonna say go with your gut. How important is it to you? Okay. I can't really answer that for you, as a dream interpreter and from my own perspective. I kind of feel like, well, you're missing out. Okay. But do you want to remember your dreams? That's the other question. Because, you've spoken to dream interpreters, you know what to do, you know how to remember your dreams. Do you truly want to? Or do you want to just allow them to come? I mean, we all have different missions in life. Do I like that when I was a kid, believe it or not, I found science so interesting. I had a little microscope and I thought that was so
Oh, cool.
cool. Yeah, that, and which is very logical. But did I want to become a scientist? Not really. These days I start reading even quantum physics, my mind starts to shut down. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with me that I don't like quantum physics. It might be something great for somebody else. Okay, and maybe you're more comfortable trusting your intuition. It's just like I've been told. I remember I had a woman who told me, you'd be really good at rescuing ghosts and crossing them over into the light and dealing with like some, I'm like, oh, no. Okay. That is not, no, I don't want to be around these yucky, some of them are really nasty entities. I mean, if they're beautiful, okay, go to the light if you happen to come. I don't want to do that. Okay. And even like mediumship, I can get in touch, but it's different when it's in my own dreams or helping somebody with it, but it's not something I'd want to do every day. Okay? So ask yourself, do you want to remember? And you don't have to answer me. Just think about it. Do you want to remember your dreams? Is it that important to you? Or is there other things that are you would rather focus on?
And what I can say is that I actually enjoy the practice of being conscious and awake and allowing those impressions to come from that still small voice or that inner life, that kind of thing. And we talk about that quite a bit on this program, because really, one of my guests just recently talked about, the phrase, and I don't know if I'm phrasing it quite correctly. I'll just say I'm paraphrasing, as within, so without, or as above, so below, or however you want to use that. And I'm working right now on clearing a lot of the stuff within, you know, saying, hey, I need this here anymore. I've got it. For example, I have an 8 by 8 foot shed that I constructed 18 years ago where we live. And I've been putting stuff in it and putting stuff in it. And I have these containers, these large containers, like you get it's at different places. And I've got books and books and books and books that I've collected over the decades. Okay, the decades that some of them I will want to keep, but others I would love to just sell them. Now, not for face value or anything like that. I mean, even if it's 50 cents or a buck on the book kind of thing, at least so that maybe I can make a couple of dollars, share them. But if I can't, I'm going to find a library that I can give them to. I can find maybe a used bookstore that I can just give them here, you know, share this with somebody else because I don't need that in my life anymore. Well, I'm doing the same thing on the inside too. And so for me, that's, you know, like I mentioned earlier with my late father, you know, for example, when my eldest sister passed away, I heard her voice and she says, hey, Richard, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Now, I don't know how long she hung around. I think she's kind of moved on now. But with my father, no voice, just these impressions. And I've often uttered out loud, Dad, okay, what do I do now? Well, now what am I supposed to do? And it wasn't like I would call him anytime I had that kind of a query, you know, but I figure, okay, so now he's not in Phoenix where I have to make a phone call to talk to him. Now he's everywhere. And I can now put that out there and say, Dad, now what? And I just wait for the impression. I wait for the guidance. So that's kind of where I'm going as far as that's concerned. And it's not to say that if I have a dream that I remember, it has never been my practice to have a pen and paper, a little book and journal, that kind of thing by my bedside, you know, let alone a verb record it because I don't want to wake my wife, who's right next to me there on the bed. And I just, I guess I like this analogy, Pamela. By the way, Pamela Cummings is our guest here on the program. PamelaCummings.com will be linked to her website as well. She's a returning guest to this program. We love having her here to talk about these things. This is the analogy that I like to use, that it applies to everybody if they're willing, but I don't put it on anybody. I have never been able to float on my back. My eldest sister, she'd get in the pool. She could float on her back, no problem. Me, I think I'm expert at drowning. Okay, because I couldn't float on my back. But let's just say I can, and I'm floating on the water of a river, and I'm just allowing the current to carry me, and it might drift me over to the left bank. And then back over to the center, and then over to the right bank. And those might be getting off places from time to time, but I get back in the river and I get back into the flow of the river. And there's no resistance on my part. Might hit some rapids. They may be, you know, small, they may be big, but I get through those, and then it's continuing down that river. And I think that that's one of the aspects with dreams that for a lot of folks, that's what helps them to, so to speak, float down that river. They get that guidance. Sometimes it's a confirmation, isn't it? It's
Oh,
telling
yeah.
us, yep, don't change course. You're doing fine.
Yeah, I recently had a dream. Well, for those who don't know me, I had two cats, and then my husband and I, we adopted two of my dad's cats and one of his dad's. They're both still alive. We're fortunate to have them still alive. My dad's 88. So we have five cats. Now, obviously, that takes a lot of time. And as you can see, one of them is, that's Pip. That's, was my dad's cat. It's now mine. And I was wondering, I have so many things I want to do. And I was wondering, what do I need to do right now for my business? And I had a dream where I was hanging out with my cats and my husband. And what I got from that was, okay, you can have all these goals for business and stuff, but don't forget about the important things, your family. Okay. That's important. That's what your main focus should be. And then do the work that you love. Because I'll probably, like my dad, I'll probably never retire. So, yeah, we have to go with what makes us happy. And as you said, float down the stream and do what's right for us. Some people love lucid dreaming. They like to go in there and they're dreaming and then they want to control what happens next. Okay. And there's all that, and I don't do that. That there are too many people out there. You want to do that, go to someone who specializes in lucid dreaming. Personally, I don't like it. I want to be like floating in my, like your analogy, floating in the dreams. And that's what I try and get my clients to do, because you're allowing the sub your subconscious, your conscious mind, and those higher in spirit to come into your dreams and give you the information you need instead of trying to control it. But other people love it, and it's good for people who have really bad nightmares or stress in their life. Some people need to do that. So as we mentioned earlier, what's right for someone else may not be right for you. You have to do what's right for you. And that's when you can listen to your dreams or your intuition in the day, nighttime messages, daytime wisdom. Now, it's not just about using the nighttime messages for your daytime wisdom. It's also getting wisdom in your daytime. That's what my, tagline is all about. So do what's right for you.
That word you just used has come up more often than not in the last couple of months of interviews, the word wisdom. How do you define that word? How do you define wisdom?
Well, it's more than knowledge. It's more than book study, because we can read all we want and stuff. I think it's like taking important information, whether that comes from an outside source or within you, and using it wisely to make your life better and other people's lives better. That's my personal opinion. And here comes just a warning. Here comes Pip again.
No
Did
worries.
you agree with that, Pip? Papa Pip,
He
he said, yeah, that's how you use the word wisdom.
beautiful, beautiful cat. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, and folks, you can not only listen to these programs on the podcasts, as well, you can watch these conversations on YouTube on the channel, Tell Me Your Story. And we hope that you will. We love to have the animals. I mean, I've had more interviews than I can think of where the guest is more concerned about the animal being a part of the program. And oh no, we don't want to. It's not that they don't. It's just, well, we don't want to have the animal interfere. And it's like, no, there is no interference. It's wonderful to have the animals in there with us, and they dream too. And a case in point is. With dogs in particular, they do what's called puppy barking when they're sleeping, and their legs might start up moving, and and they'll start rah, 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 little sounds and so forth, and they're dreaming about running and having a fun time and all this kind of stuff. I can't say that our dog now does much of that anymore. He'll be, what'll he be? A 2012. He'll be 12 years old this December. And of course, he's got that, he's a big dog, so he's got that hip dysplasia, I guess they call it. I was asked if there was, well, do dogs get arthritis? And I says, well, my perspective is that's what hip dysplasia is. It's a sort of a form of arthritis. That's fine. He's still moving around, and if we have to get him a set of wheels, we'll get him a set of wheels. Because he still chases the ball when I throw tennis balls. He'll still run after him. Maybe not as fast or as vigorous, but he still loves to do that. Is there's a part of him, like me. I'm 60, almost 64 years old. And yet inside I feel 17. Now, I have to remind myself, and actually I don't, my body does, that my body is not 17. All right. So take it easy. take it easy, you know. But I love watching our animals, especially as they're growing up. One of the things that I learned from one of our guests was, so you know how when you see your animal stretch? Yeah. You, when you feel like stretching, you need to go ahead and
Right.
just let it out and then hold on to it and just let that stretch out, because it's what your body needs at that moment. And I do that in the morning when I get up. That's usually one of the first things that I'll do once I sit up in bed. Even when the dog is over at the door barking, saying, "Hey, give me a cookie." See, it's either, and 99% of the time it's, "I want a cookie." And the other 1% is, "I need to go outside."
Right.
But first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, and I say, hold on a second. Dad's got to stretch, and I'll do the stretching, and then I'll get up and so forth. That's something else too, that I think a lot of folks, we do treat our animals a lot like children. That's true. And I've heard some animal behavioralists say, "Oh, that's, you shouldn't do that." So, well, tough. Too bad. Because that's what we do. We have no physical human children, but we have animals. We have chickens, cats, dog, and it's a wonderful thing. It really is to have them in our lives. And they sometimes, well, not sometimes, they will bond, like our dog, Angus. He is bonded to my wife. When she is upset, oh my gosh, you couldn't calm him down with Valium. Because he is connected to her. And then, of course, you know, when he's going off like he is, when he's upset because she is, I say, "He's upset because you are. You need to calm yourself down." It's just another part of life. And I'm sure that your cats,
Oh, yeah.
they are wonderful teachers for you and your husband as well.
Oh, yeah. And they pick up on emotions and they try and calm you down and they stretch and they teach us to stay in the moment because I gotta do this, I gotta do that, you know. I've actually had cats when I've been working all day. I've had a couple cats come up on my desk and lay there and be like, "That's it. Deplug." You know, deplug. But
Yeah.
and you know, and they come. And they give us messages, you know, whether it's in the dream time or, you know, if you, they, you know, or intuitively. I've actually given readings to people. I've had a cat come over and like flip a card over and be like, "Oh, that's perfect," or give me a message, you know. And you can talk to, like you can communicate with animals, you know. It's they just communicate differently, kind of like dreams. You have to learn their language.
Yeah, that is the big thing. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you put it that way, because one of the lessons I have learned, and I continue to relearn it from time to time, is in this case with a dog, it is not your job to get the dog to behave the way you want it to. It is, if you will, your job to understand why the dog is behaving the way the dog is behaving.
Right.
And then act accordingly. Now, that's not to say that we don't know the techniques for getting the dog to refocus if he's focused on, you know, and it's not literally mauling one of the cats. He's playing with it, getting it all wet, mouthing it and everything, but he's not hurting the cat. And we want him to stop because the cats are much more fragile. So it's like, okay, how do we get him to refocus his attention? You know, what he's doing isn't wrong. It's not bad, but it could have some unintended consequences that, again, because he's a big dog, he could
Right.
unintentionally hurt the cat. So I think that I have to wonder if sometimes maybe we have to do the same thing, and that's kind of what our dreams are doing as well. They're trying to get us to refocus, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know,
What about,
or to
go ahead.
heal, or to heal. Sometimes they're trying to, you know, heal in our lives. Like if you're having a lot of, I don't know, stress at work or problems with a coworker or even a relationship. You know, they'll come in and they'll give us information or try, or even sometimes it's like, "Hey, You're denying you're feeling this way, and this is going on, and you need to look at this so you can heal and refocus and have the life that you want to have.
Yeah.
You know?
That's important to keep in mind, no question. No question about it. Pamela Cummings is my guest here on the program, and your latest book, if I am correct, as I am looking at your website, which is by the same name, PamelaCummings.com, is Dream Interpretation for the Mystic Soul. I have always considered myself a metaphysician, only because I'm always curious about that which is beyond the physical. And I remember my metaphysical primer when I first started reading it back when I was, I think, 16, 17 years old, which is sort of when I began my search, as I like to call it. It was Autobiography of a Yogi. And I was reading it. Now, what's interesting is there are people who say that people don't read anymore. But if you're listening, even if you're listening to the book, whether it be on Audible or any other platform, you are still reading. Because long before Audible ever came along, because I was a member of this particular group of individuals as far as disability was concerned, I was legally blind from birth until I was 36 and had a lens implant. I was listening to my textbooks. I was listening to the recreational books. And every once in a while, I would pick up my magnifying glass and a paperback book that I was so interested in, I couldn't put it down, and I would physically read it. But I was still reading even when I was listening to the book. So don't ever let anybody, folks, tell you that if you're listening to Audible or any of the other platforms where you listen to the book that you're not reading, you are reading. Okay. But I find it interesting that as a metaphysician, I've been intrigued by shamanism, as well as a lot of the other, shall we say, more traditional philosophies. As far as the mystical aspects of what we call Christianity, I wish I could call it something else because for me, that term doesn't set well, especially considering, according to the history, that was a criticism, whatever it was in the original language. It was like saying F you to those who followed the Christ. And yet they took it on as the name of their philosophy. And and I've often said that, well, if I was really going to be a follower of the Christ, I would be a Jew because he was a Jew. He practiced Judaism. But it's always intrigued me, these mystical experiences that people have. Can you talk to us about yours? Now, I know some people interpret and say that their dreams can be interpreted as mystical experiences. What about, do you consider some of your dreams or all of your dreams to be sort of under that category of mystical?
Right. And I just want to say that my book is say,
Oh.
okay, my screen froze for a minute. It's not about Christianity. I just want to make that clear. But there is myth, there are, and like Judaism has Kabbalah, there are myth,
Sure.
what is that? Marianne Williams. I can't think of the name of what it is, but there are mystical aspects of every religion. For
Right.
me, Dream Interpretation for the Mystical Soul is about mystical dreaming, okay? And in the book, I go over, precognitive dreams, which are dreams of the future, okay? Dreams, visitations from our deceased loved ones, spiritual chapters, when one chapter is ending and a new one is beginning. I also talk about, I even have like, how do you like use meditation, to interpret your dreams. I even have a yoga, because I'm a big yoga person. You're talking about stretching. I love yoga. I have a yoga sequence for you to use to interpret your dreams. When you're dreaming where you're somebody else, okay, I have that in there. I mean, there's all different aspects. It's a really, this book is like a lot of, and it has some of my mystical experiences and other clients, you know, and how to know if you're having, it really is a dream from the deceased, or if it's not, maybe it's an issue dream when they come, you know, because when they come, sometimes they come before. So it really is about how to do this, how to interpret your dreams, how to recognize a mystical dream. I'm not talking about a solution dream or a dream where you're dreaming of like things that happen during the day or health dream. These are more on a spiritual, mystical level to help your personal and spiritual growth. Okay.
It's been said when one prays to whatever greater power they believe in that it's never no, it's either yes or not now. Do you think that on occasion we actually do get a no? No, that's not yours. That's not for you. You're not supposed to have. You're not supposed to have a Learjet. You're not supposed to have a yacht. That's not part of your life's purpose. And if certainly we can still pursue it, and we all have freedom of choice, you know. Do you think that even when it comes to our, because it sounds to me like I could ask if it's sort of like an entity, if you will, our inner wisdom, if we could ask a question of our inner wisdom, would it ever tell us no? Or is that not how that works when we tap into our inner wisdom?
I think there are times when it can be a no. Okay. I'm thinking like this isn't a dream, but a long time ago I was giving this woman a reading, okay, and she wanted to know if there was this other man, you know, she was in a bad relationship, if this other man was right for her, okay? And basically, I was like, you need to get out of this abusive relationship. And it was physically abusive. Okay. So I was like, you need to get out of this relationship now before he harms you. Okay. And no, this man is not right for you. You're just trying to make everything better. You need to heal yourself first. So sometimes it is a no. And, you know, I used to do relationship readings until I got burnt out on it. And a lot of times it was, no, this is not the right person for you. And you could try and force it, but it's just going to bring you a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
something. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I know that a lot of people are in relationships, and it's interesting how, and I'm going to say it is a choice. They claim they don't know how to get out, when I think the truth is more that they're choosing not to know how to get out. And yet they know, their inner wisdom is telling them, here's how you do this.
And I want to add, I think that they're afraid. That's what it is. They're
Fear.
afraid because they're going to have to deal with change. Okay. They're going to have to lose this person because sometimes they know they're going to be miserable with this person. They know what to expect. When they
Yeah.
leave, they don't know what to expect. And that's scary. And even more scary, they're going to have to look at themselves. I remember one time I gave a reading. Okay. And I want to tell you, even in our dreams, you can have a dream that happens decades, a year, or sometimes the next day. Okay. Timing is not easy in dreams or when you give a reading. So I had someone call me and she was signal and she said, when am I going to get into a relationship? Okay. And timing is not my forte when I give readings. And I heard 6 months and I was like, and I was excited. I was like, 6 months, because 6 months, you know, is not that long.
Oh,
Okay.
goes by
It
in a
really is.
flash.
Yeah, it really isn't. And her response was 6 months? 6 months? Not that long. 6 months. And I was like, 6 months is not that long, you know? And that's one of the reasons why I stopped many years ago. I stopped doing relationship readings, because people want what they want now. But what she didn't realize is, you know, and I don't remember the reading, perhaps that her mate wasn't ready yet. He had issues to go through, or she needed to go through some stuff before they could get together to grow.
We're talking with Pamela Cummins, and you mentioned that you and your husband just got married a couple of months ago. Well, my wife and I attended a wedding as of this conversation yesterday, which was a Sunday, and both of them are in their 70s. And there was a part of me, a very small part of me, part of my ego, obviously, that's going, what's the point of that? You're in your 70s. Why would you? But it got me to thinking as well about my relationship, because my wife and I do refer to her as my, and I hate saying my, she doesn't belong to me. Okay. She's not my possession. We had a ceremony in 2001. I stand corrected, 2002, in our home back in Phoenix. We had a minister and so forth, but there was no marriage license. Okay. Whereas yesterday, there was. This was a, you know, quote unquote, legally binding a ceremony. Are you seeing, and again, I know this dives into an area you don't deal with, but maybe as an observer of the outside world and other folks, are you seeing more people in their later years, though they've been together for decades, saying, you know what, I want to do this. And it is more symbolic. It's not about the paper. It's not about the physical licenses that's given to the state or anything. There's something about that ceremony that is different than if you just have a ceremony, you make the commitments. I mean, I still remember even our vows that, you know, my intention is never to make you unhappy. However, there will be times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What are your observations in that regard these
Okay,
days?
well, I want to say for my marriage, we were actually together for 12 years before we got married. We got married, for quite honestly, for practical reasons, because we intend to spend the rest of our lives together, and we're in the process of getting a house. And, you know, any other state, I'm in North Carolina, we'd be married. We'd common law marriage, okay? But because of all these things, and we're getting a house, and even though I'm in his will and stuff, I don't want some nurse to marry him and steal my house, okay? But it is also because we love each other, and we plan on being with each other. And it's not a ceremony thing. But what was really interesting is during the ceremony, you know, because it's the first marriage for both of us, all right? I'm 61, he's 59. You know, the judge was like, it's about time. But during the ceremony, he was so happy. Okay. Like, you know, once he was there doing it, and afterwards, it's a different feeling to the relationship. Okay. It's just a different feeling. And it was like a celebration. So yes, people are, and I don't care how old you are, you know, whether you're 70, 80, whatever, it's like a symbolic thing. You know, like how some people like to get baptized, or somebody likes to, you know, whatever. It's like having a business. Once you get your website up, it's a different feeling. Okay. It's like taking the action. And it's funny because on Sunday, I watched the movie the queen bees. And it was about, and at the, it was people like it at the end of the movie, they were in their 80s and they got married. Okay. So you're never too young to find love and be married. And if it makes you happy, do it. But yeah, I think, and I think the other reason too, Richard, why people are getting married later is because people, you know, used to get married when they were 18, 19, 20, and they're waiting. Okay. And they're waiting, you know. So, like, people will say, oh, if a guy's like, because I heard this, if the guy's like 40 or 50 or 60, he's never going to get married. Well, that's not true. They just haven't found the right one. For the right one, they will.
Well, I know that that for some folks, one of the partners may say, "Look, I really would like to do this because I would like to really make it quote unquote official, if you
Right.
will, that kind of thing." And that's a good thing. And the other partner isn't necessarily opposed. Never really thought of it because always thought they always thought, well, we are married. I
Right.
consider us married. Well, then where's the problem of going ahead and moving forward? What's it going to hurt, you know? So I think that, and again, everybody's got to make their own choices. And I just think that's very cool. I really do. And I was so proud of the two of them. There were other underlying circumstances why they chose to get married. You know, they were childhood sweethearts. And then as they grew up, they married other people. That whole story, you know?
Right.
We've all heard that story. And then they found each other some years ago, and they've been together ever since, and will be together, as the phrase goes, until death do us part. And that's a beautiful thing. Pamela Cummins is our guest here on the program. We're just about to wrap up here. I want to thank you so much for being with us. I do want to ask you those three final questions that I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
And the first of those is, who is Pamela Cummins?
Oh, I'm going to tell you what I heard. Okay, I am me. That's what I heard talking about that still. I am me. So that's my answer.
What is it that gets you up in the morning?
Besides my cats and bladder. No, I enjoy the work that I do. You know, I try and go for a walk each morning. So I just enjoy getting up, you know, in the work I do in life.
And what was your best day?
I'm gonna have to say recently when we got married, it was very simple. We went to the courthouse and got married with a few friends, and then we went over to Red Lobster and spent 3 hours there. And it was just very casual. It wasn't a big, but it was the love from my husband and my family, you know, and our families. It was just like the perfect day. It wasn't fancy. I actually wore blue jeans. Okay. Blue jeans and a fancy top. Yeah, I had bling bling on the back, my jeans, but it was very casual and it was perfect. So that was the best day when I got married.
Well, Pamela, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing with us your latest book. Folks, I hope that you'll go to her website and pick up a copy of Dream Interpretation for the Mystical Soul. It's at PamelaCummins.com. That's Cummins. PamelaCummins.com will be linked to that website. And once again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I thank you for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices and to help make your dreams come true. And until our next broadcast, podcast, videocast, love to Lal. Jeanette, I am still listening. Dad, continue to be happy because I am. Smokey, I'll see you on the other side. To my dear friend Zorro, aho, aho.